Somebody put in here, I know the Bible says I'm to forgive others, and I try. I understand that. Sometimes folks are hard to forgive, right? But what am I supposed to do if somebody will not forgive me when I say I'm sorry? Well, we can make that real short. I mean, we could make that really, yeah, really, really short.
Can we go home now?
What? Well, I mean, the real short thing is, if we were to go, and I understand where they're coming from. You know, there are people out there who are not that easy to forgive, and who do things that sometimes it's not so much that they hurt us as much as hurting family members or whatever, right? And so that does hurt us, and it's difficult. Of course,
we got some siblings in one section of our family that are having an ongoing argument. And the funny thing is, it's one of those kind of things like Hatfields and McCoys. Nobody knows what started.
Right.
It started out, the kids were squabbling, one of each. They made up in no time flat, a week or two, but this thing has stemmed on for about 10 years. Just can't get on.
So, how are you handling it?
Walk away. Maybe you can do that. That's not quite in line with what you're talking about tonight. You're talking about one forgives and one doesn't. Both of these are.
Well, and that is a difficult situation when somebody forgives and the other one won't. You know, I mean, what are we supposed to, to do? And I guess that's at the heart of this. Of this particular question here, is what am I supposed to do? They may not. Okay. Well, you can take someone with you, and yeah. Well, and the Bible says when it comes to and there in particular instance, one of the things it's talking about is church discipline. You go and you confront a person, and if that doesn't work, then you take somebody with you, and if that doesn't work, then you can go to the church.
I feel like it's my fist out of the right.
Do what?
You said something about plucking your fist out of the right.
Ah, yes.
No, it's the log that you hit them with. The two before that you hit them with.
That's a short way.
I guess
it's
just me. I guess if I feel sincere after the podcast, they don't get it.
Well, and in the Old Testament, to forgive means to send away, and to send far away. That is to send away, as in so far away you forget. When it talks about forgiveness, of course, the Old Testament talks about God's forgiveness, and He puts our sins, when we confess them, He puts our sins as far away as the east is from the west, and remembers them no more. But that's God forgiving, and of course that's the standard by which we're supposed to. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, you heard that it was said to the men of old, you shall not kill, or literally murder, and whoever kills shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you, everyone who's angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. Whoever insults or says racha to his brother shall be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool shall be liable to the Gehenna, or the hell of fire. But then he goes on to say, so if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember your brother has something against you. It didn't say that you got something against your brother. But your brother still got something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled, and then come and offer your gift. Make friends quickly with your accuser. Now, I thought she was getting ready to throw a book. Oh, and that? Make friends quick with your accuser while you're going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out till you've paid the last penny. So here, Jesus is talking, he's giving illustrations on understanding the law, but one of those has to do is tied up with forgiveness and how lack of forgiveness can actually lead to other things. You know, if you here he says, you know, you should not kill. Literally, the word means murder, and actually in the Ten Commandments says, you shall not murder. We say, thou shalt not kill, but the word is the Hebrew word for murder. It's not the word for accidental killing, you know, that kind of thing. But here Jesus takes it to the heart. He goes from the action to the heart. What's in your heart? If you're angry with your brother, you're liable to judgment. Why? Because what happens if you stay angry and you keep it inside and you let it seethe? It's going to show up. I oftentimes, when talking with students about it, I'll say, now I know that none of y'all have ever seen this or experienced it, but I've seen it. Where somebody ends up getting angry and they don't get it out and they let it sit there and stew. And then after a while, it finally boils over. And what they do, they see that person and they finally they say something to them or call them something. And that's what it means here. So angry with his brother should be liable to judgment because you bring judgment on yourself if you let the anger continue. Whoever insults, and the word here is an Aramaic word in the text, which is whoever says racha to him. And racha doesn't even sound nice. But racha basically means you sorry, good for nothing, wretch. Whoever insults his brother shall be liable to counsel. So you're angry, you let it go, you let it go, you let it go, and then all of a sudden one day you see him and you call him something. Well, what happens? I know none of those kids have ever seen it before, and I kind of tongue-in-cheek, because a couple of them will say, somebody will say, well, you can't let them get best of you. You got to say something back. I said, that's right. And then, well, wait a minute. You're not going to get better of me. And so the words go back and forth and back and forth, and it escalates until somebody takes a poke. Or these days, they may go bam, bam, bam. Right? And whoever says you fool shall be liable to the Gehenna or the hell of fire. And so, you know, instead of forgiveness, we let it escalate and get out of hand. And I tell them, I've seen that a lot in my life where it goes to fighting words. Somebody throws the first punch, and it's on after that. Ken, your mom's saying she's the older person there.
They would quote the scripture and say that if you called anyone a fool, that you would be going to hell.
Right. Yeah, they did, and it doesn't mean when you're riding down the road and they won't move out of your way and you need to go and you say and you say, yo fool, get off the road. A lot of folks used to say that about hate speak ill of the dead, but you know, John Gregory always wanted his half of the road wherever he wanted it, whether it's in the middle or the other side, and he was real slow, you know, weave back and forth. Part of that was he got where he couldn't see over the steering wheel, so he was looking between the steering wheel and the dashboard to drive. But no. Nah. But yes, they would. But you know, when you call somebody a fool, they get rather upset oftentimes. And well, so have I. And you know, but it's those words. You know, words hurt, and they continue on. And oftentimes it's harder to forgive words than it is to forgive an action. Depending on what that action is. Oftentimes it's harder to forgive words. So what are we supposed to do? Well, Jesus says here, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and remember your brother has something against you, that forgiveness isn't complete, in order for that gift to really be acceptable to God, you need to go make it right. Now, that doesn't mean that you've done something wrong. You may have, or that you haven't asked for forgiveness. It may be that they haven't forgiven you. And Jesus says, what you really ought to do is go make it right so the forgiveness can be complete in a whole circle. That's hard. But if you can't make it right, then you come back. But at the same time, it's incumbent upon us not only to forgive, but it's incumbent upon us to continue to ask for forgiveness. But
I think there's a limit to that.
There is, Hazel. I think there's a limit. God doesn't intend for us to put ourselves in a situation where things are going to get worse. or where we're going to repeat the activity or get where the activity is repeated against us. Now, the rabbis, and I think that this is in part behind Simon Peter, you probably know where we're going on this about forgiveness. Peter came up and said to him, Matthew 18:21 and following, "Lord, how often shall I, my brother, sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times?" Jesus said, "No, I say to you, 7 times, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Of course, you know, then you get to 490, and on 491 you can poke him, right? No. He's talking about 7 and multiples of 7 as being whole and complete. Peter was looking for a way out. We've talked about this before, but Peter was looking for a way out. The rabbis taught that you only had to forgive someone for the same sin 3 times. So Peter says, "I'm willing to forgive 7. How about that? Isn't that great?" Of course, Jesus said, "No, that's not enough." Well, the rabbis also taught, and I think this is tied up here as well, and the thing about Jesus saying at the Sermon on the Mount, if you get to the altar and you realize your brother's got something against you, they haven't forgiven you for something, then go and make it right. The rabbis taught that you had to forgive no more than 3 times for the same offense the same person. If they asked and you didn't the first time, they asked again, you didn't the second time, they asked the third time, you needed to, or the sin was on you. If they came and repented and asked for forgiveness and you refused to give it, then after 3 times of refusing to give it, now they're free from their sin to you. They've asked for forgiveness 3 times. And 3 was a number that's associated with the holiness of God and that kind of thing. And so Peter thought, "Well, I'm being really magnanimous here. I'll forgive 7 times. No. Jesus said 70 times 7. But if someone comes to you and they ask and you don't refuse or you don't forgive them, once you have refused to forgive them the 3rd time, according to the teaching of the rabbis, and Jesus was aware of this, and so was Peter, they're free from their sin, but now you've sinned against them by not forgiving them. And they're free to go without having to come back and ask again because they have asked. And they've asked, and they've asked. So, those were among the laws. And the emendations to the laws. And so this thing of forgiving, you are, if you refuse to forgive 3 times, according to rabbinic teaching, then the person was free. They didn't have to ask anymore. They're free. They're forgiven. But now you have sinned against them by not forgiving them. Therefore, it's incumbent upon you to go and ask them for forgiveness.
There's nobody asking forgiveness, you can forgive them. But you cannot forgive them. Well, how?
Okay.
Do you really forgive them if you keep it on your mind that way?
Well, if you keep it on your mind over and over and over and over and over again, you really haven't.
That's what I'm thinking.
Forgiveness is not complete. At the same time, though, as I said a while ago, I don't think God intends for you to forgive and forget to the point that 6 weeks later, you're in the same position again. And I know, you know, I know it happens outside of churches. I know it happens within churches, and it happens among Christians. It happens among Jews and among all kinds of folks where, and in particular, I'm thinking where a woman is abused by her spouse. Or her boyfriend, or whatever, and keeps going back, even though, you know, "Please forgive me." Well, I forgive and I forgive. We can get to the point where we're actually almost to the point of sinning against ourselves if we continue putting ourselves in the same situation, if it doesn't change, and put us in danger. That's also a point where I think when Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is talking about believers and non-believers who are married, and if the non-believer agrees to live under Christian principles, they should stay married. But says, but if the unbeliever desires, and it's an extreme desire to separate, let it be so, for God has called us to peace. I think he has in mind there the situation where, and we mentioned it in Bible study in 1 Peter the other Wednesday, where in society, in Roman society back then, the man basically could do anything he wanted to the woman, and because she was his property. And so I think Paul there is saying, you know, there comes a point where you get yourself out of that situation. And I know that's very difficult. And especially with someone who is a caring and loving and forgiving person to begin with, if they get hooked or locked into that situation, it can really be bad. But what do you do? What do you do if you say, please forgive me, I'm sorry, and they refuse? Well, Lee, but what is there any more burden on you after that? The rabbis would say, you got two more times to ask for forgiveness, and once that happens, then you're free. Okay?
Well, you might ask what you can do to tell, like, okay, what am I doing wrong? What,
okay.
Well, I got a situation right now that a guy's mad at me, and I don't think I've done nothing wrong.
I wouldn't know who he was. But.
Yeah. I don't think I did anything wrong, but he got mad at me, what, 2 or 3 months ago, and he spoke. He won't even come in the same room I'm in.
How many clubs did he wrap around the tree? No. No. I'm just kidding. But, right, you know, and I guess that's a place where, that's a fine line. Did you, you know, whether you actually did something or not? You know, that's
I thought I was doing my job.
Right.
And he thought I was
picking on him.
No, I shouldn't have been involved in it.
Okay.
I guess.
Well, but if it's something that...
I'll tell you what happened. We got a piece of equipment at the golf course.
Right.
That we picked up balls on the range.
Right.
They put a new motor in it. He did it. He put the motor in it.
Okay.
It kept quitting. So he got it 2 or 3 times and got it running again. So then one time it was left out there, it quit again. So I said something to him about it. It was sitting out there. He come in. I said something to him. He said, I'll wash my hands of it. I ain't working on that no more. I'm done with it, and you can't make me do it. I said, you're absolutely right. I can't. I didn't say another word. He left. About 15 minutes later, the guy owned the place walked in. And I told him what happened. And about 10 minutes later, that thing was gone. So, and he thinks,
right.
He got mad at me and spoke to me since.
Well, but you were, in that particular instance, it's not that you were doing something to try and create difficulty for him or harm him. So in that, no.
Well, I'm trying to get him to do.
Well,
that's his job.
One could argue that the anger that he has experienced in the way he's treating you is actually he needs to ask you for forgiveness.
Well, that's the way I look at it, too. I just want to get your opinion.
Well, you know, I can give that. Yeah, that and a dollar and a quarter gets you drink machine. Yeah. Well, but I think given that situation, what you were doing and what occurred, this would be the situation where your brother's got something against you, and he needs to be the one asking for forgiveness.
But he was frustrated too.
Yeah. Well, he was, but. It's like heaping
coals of fire upon his head.
That's
in the Bible too. Well, I thought about that, but then I said, no, I ain't
going to do that. What? Jim?
I was going to say that if you ask or ask for forgiveness,
right.
And is that a tacit forgiveness? Or?
If you ask for forgiveness and what?
There is no...
Silence?
One way, no, not one way or the other, just being ignored.
If it is being ignored, then no, I wouldn't think there's forgiveness there. Because there's no action toward you that offers, yeah, it doesn't accept it, no action that offers to forgive. If met with silence and then they turn and walk away, then no, forgiveness hasn't been given. The apology or the repentance hasn't been accepted.
Well, what if you just let it go and you just start talking to him with nobody actually apologizing one way or the other?
Friends.
I mean, is that considered someone else giving them a friend?
I don't know. What do y'all think?
That's a good question.
What? there was no words of apology.
No word of apology, no word saying yes, I do forgive you, but you just kind of let it drop and go on because it was, it wasn't even a molehill, much less a mountain. Is that considered forgiveness, or? What do y'all think? Is it right to presume at that particular point in time that forgiveness has been given? Okay.
You could consider it as that, but still, I think it needs to be an action.
An action? What?
You really feel they were in the wrong, but over a period of time, you start back speaking, you pretty well say, I forgive you. Once you start back speaking to them, you know, type situation.
Yeah, you take the initiative and.
Yes.
Well, I would say if something like that happens and you take the initiative, you know, there's a cool period and then you take the initiative and it goes, then I would say you're taking the initiative. If they have wronged you and you're taking the initiative to speak and to make it right and to let it go, that is almost a tacit kind of forgiveness. Well, that... Right.
Like a normal daily life or something like that. And you get into what one's calling black and another's called white. Right? That really hurt me, really hurt my feelings. You may have not done anything except forgot to say good morning to them.
One time,
something like that. I mean, or some kind of oddball thing like that. Some people thin skin more than others. You see it in the news every day. National things like that. But
yeah. Hazel was saying, what were you going?
I was just saying that some victims, you know, of an insult,
right,
seem to enjoy,
yeah,
the fact that,
right,
they milk it for all it's worth.
Right.
Well. But you know, but I think at that point, you only are liable to ask for forgiveness, so many times. But there comes a point where the lack of giving forgiveness and holding on to it and dragging it out and bringing it up all the time,
seems like that, many times they're not bringing up
that
offensive.
Right? Okay.
To
other people, right? Well, and in that particular instance, they have actually committed a sin against the other person, and that one is the one that starts with a big G. Gossip. Okay. But you know, we look to God to forgiveness, right? For forgiveness, and we talk about when we accept Christ and we admit our sins, and you know, John the Baptizer's baptism was. Once and for all, it was for the remission of sins. That you had asked God's forgiveness and you were coming forward to publicly say that you had asked for God's forgiveness and received it. Within the New Testament church, though, the understanding became that once you had accepted that forgiveness from God, and especially in your buddy Paul, once you had accepted that forgiveness from God, then it was incumbent upon you, just as Jesus even forgave those who were killing him, it is then incumbent upon you to die to the old self and to be willing to offer forgiveness to others just as God forgave you.
Yes, sir. If you don't ask God for forgiveness,
burning.
Where does that get you?
If you don't ask God for forgiveness?
Don't ask God for forgiveness.
Burning.
So this goes back to what we're talking about here.
Right.
There was never no forgiveness given on the wrong. So if you don't ask God for forgiveness, what's going to happen?
If you don't ask God for forgiveness, then you haven't truly accepted and repented.
These people that have not asked for forgiveness is in that same boat. Is that not right?
They would be in a similar situation, yes.
Even though you pass it on and you go and you talk to them.
Right.
And, you know, you put it behind you. That person still owes forgiveness for the wrong done.
They owe penitence.
Yes. What if they don't publicly tell you ask forgiveness, but they ask
okay,
if
you don't
God,
ask.
Right. But they don't.
If we sin, and we don't ask God for forgiveness, then what's going to happen? God don't forgive them? That is our nut. Okay, that person sinned against you. He didn't ask you for forgiveness.
Well, I don't think that he's, you know, well, he got mad at me, but I didn't got mad at him.
Right.
Go hug him, Rob.
I ain't going to have him. I can't do it.
Jim?
I'll take a bear hug.
And that's where we don't do such a good job. Yeah, and Ed jumped in here in the middle of all that while ago and brought up another, if you read my notes, brought up another thing from, you know, the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts. And the word debt, we say trespass, but the word for debt is a synonym for sin. Forgive us our debts or our sins as we have forgiven. And it's like or as. You could very easily, and what it really means is forgive us our debts like we also have forgiven. So the presumption is, first of all, we don't ask for forgiveness unless we've forgiven. And secondly, we're asking God to forgive us just like we forgave that person. And if we didn't really forgive them, then I tell folks all the time, it's a very dangerous prayer because you might get what you asked for, not really forgiveness. But the point of that prayer, though, is not as much that we are asking God, forgive me and get rid of it, and I'll go on about my way. The point of that is that we focus on those against whom we have sinned, and we ask, we forgive them as we hope and expect God to forgive us. And that therein is the rub, and therein is the tough thing. Because when, you know, there are people, I had a student probably 20 years ago now, and I still remember this particular student who we were talking about the Lord's Prayer and forgiving. She said, well, there's some people I'm not going to forgive. And I said, what? She said, there's some people I'm not going to forgive. I don't want to, and I'm not going to. And I said, but Jesus here, I said, I'm not saying this. Jesus says, and then he goes on after that in the model prayer to say, for if you forgive others their offenses against you, then your Father in heaven will forgive you yours. But if you don't forgive them, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your offenses. Same word for sin, offense, trespass, debt. And this person said, well, I don't want to forgive them, and I'm not going to. I said, well, then, according to this, you're going to have a tough time. God to forgive you? Oh, no, God forgave me. I said, oh, God did? But you didn't forgive this person. So how did God forgive you if you didn't forgive this person? Oh, because I made a profession of faith and I came into the church and asked God to forgive me and he forgave me and I believe he forgave me in Jesus and Jesus died for me. I said, that's the easy part. The hard part then is if someone sins against us, we're supposed to forgive them as well, whether we want to or not. And trust me, there are people I sometimes don't want to forgive. I think, and I don't know for sure how I would react, but, and I'm really not sure how I would react. I would hope that if somebody walked in and to a church meeting and took out family and friends, that I could be like some of those folks at the church down in Charleston that forgave them. But I'm not so sure that I can. That's the hard part.
What if someone takes advantage of a grandchild, especially a young girl?
That's...
Sorry.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and that subject came up, and I said, well... Well, the person asked me, said, so does that mean, all these bathroom things, said, does that mean that some guy can walk in the ladies' bathroom when my granddaughter's in there just because he says he associates with that? I said, well, that's what they're saying. And he said, and what if they do something to my granddaughter? I said, well, he'll come out gelded at the least.
Oh.
This guy said, if I catch him, we'll just say, let's see, we're going to flush this part here, and we're going to flush this part here, and we're going to flush this part here. But, you know, I mean, how... Yeah, that's... Well, yeah. Well, but, you know... But that's a hard situation. How would you handle it? How would you forgive? Or... Someone, a female with a butch haircut comes walking in where your young grandson is in the men's bathroom.
You know, we can stand back and say we would handle it this way or we handle it that way.
But we don't know till we're there. We would hope we would handle it a certain way. However, you know, I would hope that if something happened like happened in Charleston, I could handle it that way, but I don't know. And, you know, how tough is that when we... forgive us our debts just like we have forgiven somebody else.
Well, that means you can do something rip cush and then turn around and ask forgiveness of it back.
No, right. Yes,
but,
sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, but the theme of forgiveness is central in the gospel. It's central in the gospel. We, in fact, in some instances... It would seem to be that forgiveness to Christians, and just as Jesus said there in the Sermon on the Mount, forgiveness to Christians is somewhat conditioned by whether Christians are willing to forgive others. And that's where I get really uncomfortable that's where I really get uncomfortable. Because is there a point where... forgiveness cannot be given, and I'm willing to take the consequences for not.
Thank you. Praise God.
What are the consequences? Total separation from God forever.
Well, there, you know.
Would that be any worse than the sin we do? You don't forgive somebody?
Well, you know, and supposedly, in the eyes of God, a sin is a sin is a sin is a sin. We put levels on sin.
I agree with God.
So anything that separates us from God is a sin. In the Old Testament, the people who are wicked aren't just those who do terrible, dastardly things. Charles Manson, Jeffrey Dahmer, you know, those kinds of things. Just names that pop into heads. But the term wicked... in the New Testament, actually, the root word means to miss the mark. And it's related to an archery tournament or a spear throwing contest. And you're aiming for that bullseye. And if you miss it even by a little bit, you've missed the mark. So it's not the wicked are not the ones that have committed the great dastardly sins. It's any sin that misses the mark that makes us among the wicked. Well, and one of the arguments that a lot of people who don't want to, and I really think, is they just don't want any accountability. Nobody's going to tell me. Nobody. But they don't even want accountability with God or anything. And they're, you know, they speak against God and they speak against religious people and speak against Christians. Is because they know they can't do all that good, and but they don't want any accountability. But Psalm 1, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. And there's a progression there. The wicked are those who miss the mark, but you walk in their counsel. The next progression is stands in the way of sinners. And to stand was to walk in place, or to, it's used to, of an ox treading out the grain. And as the ox treads out the grain, it also is allowed to eat some of the grain, so that's trying it out. So you see this and you say, oh, that looks interesting, so now I'm going to go in here and I'm going to try it out, and then sits in the seat of scoffers or the mockers of God. That's where a person, where a person's seat is his home. And so that's where you sit down, and now you make that your lifestyle. And that's that progression. They can start from missing the mark by a little bit, and if we're not careful, then it progresses to something worse and something worse and something worse, you know. The first time, oh Lord, oh please, I really didn't mean to get that. Please forgive me. I won't ever do it again. And then the second time, a few weeks later, oh Lord, I'm sorry I did it again. And by the fourth time, you don't even think about it.
Yeah, I always did in church. You know, you miss Sunday doing something, hate Sunday, whatever. And over a period of time, you
used to be mad. If you continue, and what's really scary is if you continue in that psalm, verses 4 and following, the wicked are not so. In verses 2 and 3, the positive, he delights in the law of the Lord, meditates day and night, prospers, etc. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Well, the chaff is just that lightweight stuff. The wicked are like chaff. The wicked sins, missing the mark, can simply be what we would think is lightweight. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, and the way of the wicked will perish, which literally means in Hebrew to become nothing. Their way will become nothing. And so here you've got that, what is a sin is a sin is a sin. Wicked simply means to miss the mark, even by a little bit. If you're aiming for the bullseye and you miss it, but you get right on the edge and the next person gets up to shoot, you're among the wicked, because why? You miss the mark, the next person might hit it, and you lose. And if you're shooting for the king, guess what? Robin Hood just beat you, Sheriff of Nottingham. And with Robin Hood, you never know, right? You can put it in the bullseye, and he splits your arrow, right? Or at least that's what's showed in the movie. And in battle, it can have even more dire consequences. You shoot your arrow at the enemy and miss. By the time you go to put another one in, he's got a target, and if he's on target, that's it. And so, you know, part of it does boil down to what is a sin and how do we handle sin. But not only how do we handle sins that we commit, but how do we handle the sins that are committed against us? And how do we handle the sin where we do, I guess from this, the person that asked this, I guess the situation where they have said they're sorry. That's what I'm presuming. I know the Bible says I'm to forgive others, and I try, but what am I supposed to do if somebody will not forgive me when I say I'm sorry? If you ask, and you ask, and they won't, does that mean you're free? Because they've now sinned against you, and they should come to you for forgiveness?
Well, I say you are free, because you don't have any control over what they're doing.
And
all you can do is...
And I think that's where the rabbis came out in their teaching. And Jesus builds a little bit upon that here with Simon Peter in Matthew. But it's that whole thing that there is not a limit to your trying to be reconciled. But if the other person refuses reconciliation, there comes a point where if they refuse, that you're no longer liable for it because they have sinned against you.
Mm-hmm. Ask for forgiveness. That's hard to do.
Oh, it is.
It's hard to make yourself do that. Even though you know it's wrong, but still it's hard to make yourself do that.
Yeah.
That ought to be enough to convince somebody right there that you're serious. You know, the way I look at it.
Yeah. And, well, and it's also, I think, the way you ask for it. If, you know, you do something and it hurts them and they let you know, and then you go to turn around and walk away, well, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not. How you say it, yes. That's right, Sybil. How you say it.
Do you need to apologize for something that you were supposed to do and someone got offended by it? In other words, you followed the rules, regulations, be it at work or something like that, and it was the right thing to do, yet they got offended, you know, or something like that. Is that something you need to apologize for? Where you didn't do the sin, you get right down.
Well, I don't.
I'm sorry you got your feelings hurt.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. I think you could go. That would be going the extra mile to do that. If it's part of your job to do this, and yeah, supervisor, and then I'm sorry that, but this was what needed to be done. Sorry that you got offended. But
that's back to what you were saying.
So I don't know.
What he got offended by.
Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about right there. You know,
it should have been
with the extra mile there.
It shouldn't have been a problem. He should have went down there and said, "I'll take care of it. It's his job."
Yes, sir.
You know, and it wouldn't have been nothing. That'd been the end of it.
Now we got golf balls all
over. Yeah, I'll just turn. Nah. You want to be washed clean?
Washed away.
So, you know, I don't know that we've totally answered it. I think we've run all around it and everything. But whoever wrote this, if you're in the room, I hope that. Of course, you know, sometimes I'm not too sure. So sure that sometimes people might write them and drop them in, and then they don't come. Well, that may be it. That may be it. Anyone have anything else you'd like to add? It's forgiveness is not an easy thing.
You talk about sin, being sin, your daughter only know one's bad. Yeah, that's true. But I'm reading somewhere in the New Testament. I thought you came up with the indication of sin is kind of graded, and it's like I've always said. I don't think my covenant in 1956 Plymouth Fury is as bad as what Hitler did. But that was a covet with no victim.
Right.
Something like that.
Right.
You know, just
a
good-looking car.
Well, it's one thing to say that's a good-looking car. It's one thing. It's another thing then to that's all you think about and that's all you want and you try to figure out a way to either get one.
Yeah.
So if you do that, then that actually has become God to you.
Yeah.
And so the one you've offended. Yeah. So the one you've offended at that point is actually God.
Yeah.
Because that you've made that has become your God. The thing that you worship the most, want the most. Yeah, it's not that money's rude, it's the love of money. And it's the excessive love of money there that was being spoken of. But, you know, this whole thing of a sin in God's eyes, you know, but we grade them more than anything else. And, you know, why do people, I still say, why would they much rather post the Ten Commandments than the Beatitudes? Because the Ten Commandments say, well, you're pretty good if you don't do this and don't do this and don't do this and don't do this. Yeah. And then, but the Beatitudes say, well, you know, in order to be good and righteous, then you do this and you are this and you do this and you are this. And it's a whole lot easier to say, I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't go with women that do, and therefore I'm pretty good, than it is to say, well, you know, I really wasn't such a meek person on that situation, or I wasn't mercy-filled in that situation. There are those. Well, I don't know. If whoever wrote that's in the room, we might have done nothing but frustrate you even more. But these are not easy questions, and they're not easy answers. We think they should be. Why? Because we're forgiven by God, and we've got Jesus leading us and all, and the Holy Spirit. But, you know, sometimes we can not listen.
Yeah.
personality. Yeah. There's a lot of things that go into it. Right.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Anything else? Well, if not, then please, and I'm sincere, please forgive me for going over time.
Okay, we'll get out 10 minutes early next week.
Well, actually, I will tell you that there is someone years ago who came on Sunday night, and it was the first time they came on a Sunday night, and that particular night we had additional questions, and we went for an hour and 15 minutes, and they never came back. And I was told several months later that the reason they never came back is because we didn't hold it to an hour. God bless you. Go in peace. Thank you.